Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Chris Loffrey. Lori Walsh has the day off. Days from now, South Dakota will induct this year's selections for the Hall of Fame. One of them is President of the University of South Dakota, Jim Abbott. He joins us now in studio. Welcome to In the Moment.
Well, thank you. Nice to be here.
First off, congratulations. And I have a feeling we could talk for hours, but in the short amount of time, we're going to kind of get people an idea of the kind of guy you are.
All right.
Let's begin by taking us back to your childhood and your upbringing growing up in Yankton, as this seems to kind of shape who we are, and I'm sure that's kind of what it did for you.
Well, I'm the oldest of eight children, and my mom and dad lived in Yankton. They came up from Sloan, Iowa when I was 6 weeks old so my dad could pitch for the Yankton Terriers. At that time, they paid the pitcher and they paid the catcher, and he was the pitcher.
So there was money there.
A little bit. Not much.
And you are an alumnus of the University of South Dakota and ultimately got your law degree. Now, you take that law degree into the real world and do what with that?
Well, I practiced in Yankton from 1974 to 1982 with what was then known as the Brady Law Firm. And I think my partner, Steve Johnson, and I are the only two left of that group. And then after 8 years, I sort of fell into the cable business, which was a great stroke of luck for me, very fortunate. And I was able to take over a company that was founded by actually one of my best clients who died tragically at 42 of colon cancer. So that was the next 15 or 16 years. And then I applied for the job as president of the University of South Dakota and was fortunate enough to get it.
In the early 90s, you were a member of the South Dakota State Legislature. Tell us about that time and some of the things that you remember from that time.
Well, it was an interesting time. I was in the minority party, which is never very much fun, frankly, in many ways, because you don't get to lead. But I tried as hard as I could, and I thought did a pretty good job. We had some great folks in those years in the minority party. Bernie Hanoff from Yankton comes to mind, and various others who served many more terms than I did. I was particularly interested in health. I felt that health care would be the biggest issue in the next 20 years, and I think on that I might have been at least somewhat correct. I was afraid that we would eventually price ourselves out of health care for everyone. And that's as a kid whose parents had not very much money and a lot of kids, that's the kind of thing that always made me nervous, and I didn't like that. I think everybody deserves appropriate health care.
Under which governor did you serve?
Well, let me think. George Mickelson was governor then, and I think that just the 2 years that I was there, he was governor, and then he was followed again by Walter Dale Miller and then by Governor Janklow, who actually was very supportive of me in applying for this job, and I'm sure I would not have managed to get it without his positive support.
Do any accomplishments that you're extremely proud of come to mind while you served in the legislature?
I was the author of a bill to create a health care commission, but it really didn't go anywhere. I was disappointed by that. I thought it would be good to look at the issues, and I was cognizant then, and it may not be quite correct now, but I'm reminded that of all the dollars that we spend in our life on health care, I think something like 60% are spent the last year, and maybe 60 to 80% of that 60% in the last couple of weeks or month. So I always thought that was an alarming statistic, because it means that someplace, somebody's not getting served, because that's an enormous expense at the time of death. So I wanted to think about how we might change that percentage a little bit. We have enormous number of students in South Dakota kids who aren't well served, and I thought that was very unfortunate, and still do.
Moving forward a few years, you alluded to this earlier, you've been president of the University of South Dakota since 97, and might I add, the only alumnus president in school history.
Correct.
Has there been an advantage to that? Have you found yourself having more passion because of that?
Well, you know, I think it's a great emotional advantage. I mean, this is my school, not because I'm president, because mm-hmm. it's my school. Mm-hmm. I came here as a freshman, and I left with my law degree, and I felt very grateful to the university for putting me in a position to have a good life. And that's really what a liberal arts education is all about, law school or not. I was able to parlay my undergraduate degree in political science, and I learned to write here, which I think is a huge advantage if you can write well, and then went to law school and could make a good living because of, in great part, the University of South Dakota.
Let's stick with the University of South Dakota. 11 years ago, under your watch, the university stepped up from NCAA Division II to Division I. Was that something that was long on your radar, or what prompted that move?
I was very interested in moving to Division I prior to that time. In fact, the president of SDSU at that time and I had quite a conversation with UND and NDSU, and we thought we would all go at the same time. But then UND sort of pulled out, and I didn't necessarily have the full support of folks at that time, so folks that I needed. So we did not go at that time and went 5 years later. And I've always kind of regretted that we didn't move at that time. It would have been easier for us had we not had that five-year lag. But all is well, and we're doing well, and I'm very proud of our teams. I think it was the right move.
Explain what the move does for a university.
I think it does a couple of things. I think over the next 20 years, the higher education is going to be increasingly more difficult. It's a scramble for students, to put it in sort of mildly. I remember that when I graduated from high school in my class of 1966 in Yankton High School, there were 15,500 graduates. This year in this state, there are about 9,000. So that's the history of South Dakota, and there isn't significant growth. Throughout the state, there is some in reservation areas. There is significant growth. There's some growth in Sioux Falls and that community, and there's some growth in Rapid City. But if you get right down to it, it's not what you'd call a growth business. So I felt that in order to do well over this next period of time, we really needed to be, along with South Dakota State, we needed to be in competition, not necessarily with the Southwest Minnesota States of the world, but more in competition with the flagship and land-grant schools in Minnesota and Iowa and North Dakota, et cetera, Nebraska. So I felt that we needed to be at a different level of competition, not only athletically, but as a university. And one of the questions I often ask people when they ask me if I will support something, I say, is this what a Division I university would do? A Division I athletically, Division I scholastically. Those are the kinds of questions that I think we should ask ourselves each and every time we put something forth.
After that move, the expansions began in both facilities and scholarships. I mean, we're talking to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. And doing that is not easy. So how does that get accomplished?
Well, I think our movement forward began really before me. I think the first great challenge, building-wise, that I think at least was undertaken by Betty Turner Asher and the USD Foundation with Old Main. Old Main sat vacant, boarded up from the time I was a senior in high school senior in college in 1969 and 70 until about 1994 or 5, when Betty Turner Asher led the university, led a fund drive along with the foundation to make that building really be a shining example of our university. And I think what I did was really do what I thought I could do. When I became president, I talked about in the application process that, frankly, the physical plan of the university was not good. Our admissions office, for instance, was in the basement of Slagle between the pop machines and the bathroom. That's not a place you want to bring your senior in high school. Mm-hmm. It's a place that you can afford to have when you don't have significant competition, but it is not a place from whence to build a stronger university. So I set out to make those things happen. I didn't even know you were supposed to hire a consultant and do all that stuff. I said in my inauguration on Dakota Day of 1997 that we needed at least $60 million and learned after that the consultant said we could only raise about 25. But we raised 135 or 125, something like that. And so we were able to do a lot of things, as you said, scholarships, buildings, et cetera. So we have some of the money in the bank, so to speak. And in other ways, though, we were able to, the medical school was in a really bad facility. It was, and we were in danger of being on the probation list or even failing accreditation because the facility wasn't good. Belbus, where we now have student services, was the campus shop. One of the world's only three-story campus shops, I might add. We were able to turn that into something. I all knew Hearth Media Center was where we are right now, and where your office is, was really a not particularly pleasant building with a not particularly good layout, and I thought massively underutilized. So we were able to do something there with the help of not only everybody at the university and the University Foundation, but some stellar alums who made significant investments. Al Newharth and the Freedom Forum, for one, and certainly many, many others, too numerous to mention, really. Sligo Hall, now Alps Hall, is another one. So I think we got to do some great things, and I'm pleased that I was a part of that.
Just last year, the sports complex opened up, which houses a basketball arena, among other things. And so far, how is that building holding up to its hype? Because that was a big deal.
You know, it really is a wonderful facility. And remember, it's not just about basketball and volleyball. It's also about the numerous health sciences, academic endeavors that are located in that building. That whole south end is really academic space. And it has room in the future for a clinic and those kinds of things. It's great space. It's great educational space, and it's a great facility. Now we need to redo the dome as well. It's as they say about horses, a little long in the tooth, having been completed in about 1978, and it definitely needs a facelift, and we're working on that right now.
I was just going to say there's a plan for that.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
To accomplish these things, I mean this serious fundraising, and how does one, in the short amount of time we have left, in a leadership role such as yourself, you are the president of the University of South Dakota, go about initiating raising that kind of money? Is it your staff? I mean, you play a big role in that.
We're so lucky to have a very dedicated staff at the University of South Dakota Foundation. Steve Brown and before him, Ted Munster, have been wonderful leaders, and they understand the importance of supporting the university. It's never been about telling the university what to do, as you see in so many instances across the country. There's an argument between the foundation and the school. We've never had that problem. Their view has always been, both Steve and Ted have believed, that their goal is to support the university, and they do a wonderful job of it. It's really finding and locating alums and supporters who have a great affinity for the university, but maybe they've simply never been asked to support a project that really strikes their fancy. Or in many cases, it doesn't occur to them that state revenue to the university has declined over the past several years as a percentage. When I was in school, the state paid about 60%. Now it's about 40%. Mm-hmm. So either students have to pay more, or our alums and friends have to help with scholarships. So those are the kinds of things that we do to make sure that our university stays a great one.
Next week, the South Dakota Hall of Fame induction ceremony, September 8th and 9th in Chamberlain. For tickets and more information, visit sdexcellence.org. Jim Abbott, you're one of them.
Thank you.
Going into the Hall of Fame. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule to spend it with us. Congratulations.
Thank you. Nice to be here.